let the church say amen. Amen. If God's been good to you, won't you give him a hand clap of praise? I know he's certainly been good to me. As a matter of fact, when I opened my eyes early this morning, I realized that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Hallelujah. No matter how much the alarm clock went off, no matter how much the birds were chirping, and no matter how much noise was being made on the outside or on the inside, if it had not been for the Lord touching me this morning, I would not have had the health and strength to even open my eyes. So God is a good God. Amen. And, beyond the shadow of a doubt, God is still in control. And that makes me happy. Amen. And secondly, I know that there's a word coming from the Lord. And that makes me happy. Amen. And thirdly, you all could have stayed at home. You could have slept in, but you got in your cars or you got on your go-karts or your golf carts and you drove out here to the house of the Lord that we might worship him in spirit and in truth in corporate worship. So give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I'm just very thankful for our youth. Amen. You know, I tell you, I heard a message the other night where the preacher was preaching about Gideon, and he was saying that Gideon had 32,000 men, and when he told some of them they could go home, that 22,000 went home and left them with 10,000. God said, you still got too many. And I just stopped by to tell you that you don't have to have a whole lot to be able to praise God and to worship him in spirit and in truth. But if you got a group of people that all truly love the Lord and have come together not to stare at each other, not to wonder what the other person is doing or isn't doing, but a group of people who come together for the purpose of worshiping God and praising him and giving him all that you got, if you can get those group of people together, no matter how small or how big, God will show up every time. Amen. He'll show up every time. He'll show out. And let's Sister Katie Mesmer. She just works so wonderfully with the young people, and God's given her such a great gift to be able to work with them. And I remember her coming to me a few years ago in tears, and she said, you know, Pastor, she said, I can't get to the choir rehearsals. And she said, you know, just the thought of not being able to work with those kids, she said, it just does something to me. And I'm just thankful and grateful that the Lord has made a way for her to continue to use her gift. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when you really trust God and when you really want to use your gift, he'll let you use it everywhere you go. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, lest I keep you too long, I know some of you got some things to do later on, so I want to get you out of here. Amen. Go with me to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we're reading, you're hearing the first three verses. If we have time, we may expound a little bit on the fourth verse. Verse 1 reads, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Say it with me, church. And there was? And there was light. Amen. I want to use for a subject just for a little while. How to bring light into a dark situation. How to bring light into a dark situation. Let us pray. Our merciful Father and our God who art in heaven, as humbly as we know how, as honest as we know how, we bow our heads before your presence because we realize, God, that you are the God of the universe. We realize that you sit high and that you look low, and we ask first and foremost for forgiveness of all of our sins, O gracious Lord, that we may be holy and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer who liveth. And then, Father God, we ask that you would just tear down any strongholds, Lord, that Satan may even attempt to build up into our minds, that we will focus upon your word and upon what it is that you have to say to us individually, O Heavenly Father, And then, God, I ask that you would remember me, Father God, touch my heart and touch my mind. And I pray, Lord God, for a supernatural amount of strength and energy, O Heavenly Father, for a miraculous amount of wisdom and understanding that I may rightly divide this passage of scripture and that I may do it, Lord God, in a way that's pleasing to you. So forgive me, Lord God, for all my sins and just prop me up on every lean and side. Do for me what only you can do, Father God, and I give you glory in advance, for I walk by faith and not by sight. And let the church say in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How to bring light into a dark situation. As we sit here this morning and we think about the goodness of God, and I know that we've all come to worship him in spirit and in truth, and we've come primarily to hear a word from the Lord. We've come here this morning because we want God to speak a word into our lives and to give us, rather it be encouragement or rather it be instructions on how to deal with something better or how to create in us, in our hearts, that we might be better children of light for this sin-sick world. But in spite of coming here for those reasons, we must all realize and understand that we live in a world that's filled with darkness. Can I get a witness here? Darkness is everywhere. As a matter of fact, the darkness is all in the community. Darkness is in society. It's full of darkness. There's darkness on Capitol Hill. There's darkness taking place on both sides of the elections, the Democrats and the Republicans. There's darkness. There's darkness in our schools. Can I get a witness, somebody? There's darkness on our jobs. There's darkness on our jobs. And yes, there's even darkness in many families. There's darkness in many families. And God knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, whether we want to admit it or not, there's some darkness in our churches. Can I get a witness here? I said there's some darkness in our churches. And the thing that we must understand is, where does all the darkness come from, and how do we deal with the darkness that's in society today? How do we deal with it? What do we do about it? And that's a very good question, because throughout the week as I was praying and talking to the Lord about what he would have me to share with you all this morning, the Lord spoke a word into my heart and he led me to this passage of scripture. And God wanted me, and he wanted you to understand that behind everything that goes on in the world today, it's darkness. Lord have mercy. People can call it what they want, but ultimately it is darkness. Lord have mercy. And so the scripture is filled with verses that contrast darkness and light. And it basically says that darkness has nothing to do with light. And the scripture also says that darkness comprehends not the light. Lord have mercy. And it's not that darkness doesn't understand the light, but it basically says that lightness and dark cannot co-inhabit at the same time. I'm right about it. I'm right about it. And so there's some things that I believe God wants us to understand. And if you look with me in verse, the first thing that I want to reveal to you about bringing light into a dark situation is that we must understand, no matter how dark a situation is, no matter how bad it is, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What am I saying? I'm saying, first of all, we must understand that it is God who is the creator. Can I get a witness? It's not your boss. Is not the church. It's not the pastor. It's not the president of the United States. It's not the senators. It's not the governors. It's not the police officers. No matter how much authority anybody in this world may have, none of us have more authority than God himself. Can I get a witness? Now this is important, because in our local schools and our elementaries and our middle schools, our high schools, and yes, in our colleges, they're teaching our children that there's a thing called evolution, that we came from apes and so on and so forth. And they're also teaching the Big Bang Theory. Come on, somebody. That something happened and then boom, everything just fell into place. I stopped by to tell you that that's a lie. That's not the way things came into existence. For my Bible says in the beginning, in other words, when there was no earth, in the beginning, when there was nothing, that God did something. The creator of the universe, the Bible said that he created the heavens and the earth. Now what is the universe? The universe was created, and the word created means to produce or to bring into being from from nothing, which means that God, our creator, though there was nothing, he spoke and there was something. I wish I had a witness in this place. And I want you to know that since he has the power to speak an earth into existence, then he still has the power to deal with the darkness that's going on in the world. Touch your neighbor and say, God still got it. Lord have mercy. God still got it. He still got it. You see, heaven and earth, the Bible says he created. Heaven stands opposite to earth. Am I right about it? Heaven is up and earth is down. Am I right about it? But I want you to know that when you combine both of them together, it produces what we call our universe. And a universe is the whole system of created things. And so God says, I create the heavens, I create the earth, and when I put them together and hook them up, then all things created will be within that realm. As a matter of fact, universe is where we get our word university. Can I get a witness? Can I teach just for a minute? You see, what's taking place in a university? We send our children off to universities, and within university, they have put together a list or a group of things that is designed for the purpose of creating something in the students that come so that when they leave, they will be what they weren't before they got there. I wish I had a witness here. So therefore, we must understand that when a child goes off to a university, they have classes that they have to take, and it's usually for a minimum of 4 years. And so when they get there, they don't have a degree. Come on, somebody. When they get there, they are not a psychologist. They are not a doctor. They are not a lawyer. Can I get a witness? They are not an engineer. But after 4 years, after 6 years, after 10 years of being at a university, everything that they have planned and put together, once they have gone through it and used it for the right purpose, now they leave with a slip of paper that says, I'm a psychologist. I am a lawyer. I am a doctor. I'm an engineer, because something took place at the university. In other words, it was used for the purpose in which it was intended to be used for. And I said that to say this, that God created the heavens and the earth because before we got here, we weren't who we were supposed to be. We weren't all that we were gonna be. But if we were to use the heaven and the earth for the purpose in which it was intended, we would come out being exactly who God called us to be. Lord have mercy. You know, I know we read this passage, and as we read it, we say all the time, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We've read it so many times, we've heard it so many times, that it has become boring to our ears. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You see, but you can't just read it like that. You got to understand here. So the first thing is, we must realize if light is going to be brought into a dark situation, you must never forget that God is still the creator. And without him, nothing that was created was made. Can I get a witness? The second thing I want you to see here is that creation was for man to possess and to enjoy. I said creation was for man to possess and to enjoy. Look in verse 2. Verse 2 says, it says, and the earth, good God Almighty, the earth was without form and void. That doesn't seem like it was created for us to possess and to enjoy. But let's look at the word earth here. The word earth in the Hebrew is eres, and it suggests by double intender that the land of Israel's habitation. In other words, what I'm saying is, when God created the earth, it was originally intended that the Israelites, or God's chosen people, was going to dwell in the land. Not only would they dwell there, but they would possess it. It would be theirs. It would be theirs to claim, and they were supposed to enjoy it. But you see, the term eres commonly means a territorial holding or a designating land, which means when God created the earth, he says, I created it, and it is designated for a particular purpose. Lord have mercy. But, you know, when I read this and studied it, it just blew my mind. So here's what God is saying in a nutshell. He says, I've created this earth, and even though it's dark, and it's void, and it has no light in it, but yet it is created for the purpose of man to possess and to enjoy it. Now, I want you to understand, you don't see him, but he's there. Satan is there in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of all this void. void that's on the earth. Satan is in the midst of it, good God Almighty. As a matter of fact, when God created man and woman and when he created the garden and put them in it, you don't read anywhere in scripture where it says God created Satan and put him in it. You don't read that. You see, and you don't read anywhere in there where it says that Satan was now put in the garden also. You don't read that. But when you get over to Luke chapter 10, verse 18, you see Jesus say, I saw Satan kicked out of heaven, boop, like a bolt of lightning. In other words, when God kicked him out, it was quick, fast, and in some kind of a hurry. Lord have mercy. But I want you to understand that Satan is here. And you see, by the time God creates man and woman, Satan is already there because he loves darkness. He loves it when things are dark and when it has no form and when it's void. That's his home, sweet home. But you got to understand something, saints. Why do I say that God's creation was for man to possess and to enjoy? Because when you look at verse 10 of chapter 1, go with me there. Verse 10, it says, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was what, church? Good. God saw that it was good. Don't you know that anytime God stamps his seal of approval on something, it's for us to enjoy and never to hurt us? Look with me also in verse 12. It says, verse 12 says, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, though seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was what, church? God saw that it was good. Now look with me in verse 31. Look with me in verse 31. It says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what, church? God said that it was good. In other words, God says, everything that I've made is good, and I've made it for you to enjoy it, and I've made it for you to possess it, and I've made it so that you can bring your families up. How many of you are crazy enough this morning to believe that the reason why God created you was so that you could be in his image? How many of you are crazy enough to believe that? Well, I'm glad you are, because that's what the Bible says in 1:26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, I want you to understand, you see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. One might say three gods. No, I ain't but one God, but three distinct persons. In other words, they operate harmoniously within themselves as one God. Just like you ain't but one person, but you made up a body, soul, and spirit. Can I get a witness in here? Good God from Mount Zion. You see, so therefore we must understand that God created man and woman so that they could have children, and so that God could extend his family. I'm going somewhere with this. You see, God has a community within himself, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But they said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. In other words, let us make man so that they will have our holiness and our rationality. Let us make man so that they will be perfect. Let us make man so that they can reason with one another. But you know what happened. You know the story. In the garden, Adam and Eve sinned, and we lost God's holiness, but we maintain his rationality. But I want you to know that there was a way to get back his holiness, but I'm going to save the best for last. Can I preach this morning? The third thing I want you to see, I'm still in verse 2. Look in verse 2. It says, now the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What am I saying here? What I'm saying here is formless and empty is tehu weboah in the Hebrew, and it literally means a wasteland and empty. Now, I want you to know that God has created the earth for us to possess and to enjoy, but yet the earth is formed, it's void, it's empty, it's a wasteland, and can't anybody live in it? Nobody can survive under those conditions. Now, I need you to get this morning. Don't miss it. You ought to look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, you can't live in a wasteland. You can't survive. You cannot survive in a wasteland. You cannot survive in dark conditions when things are just chaotic. You see, that's where we get the word chaos, and where there's wars going on and there's violence going on, there's darkness, and the Bible says it was upon the face of the deep. What am I saying? I'm saying that the deep is prevailing over the landscape. I'm saying that there's misery. Darkness represents misery. Figuratively, it means destruction and death, and the fact that there's
darkness hovering over the face of the deep says that there's destruction over the face of the deep. There's death. There's ignorance. There's sorrow. There's wickedness over the face of the deep. You got to understand what I'm saying, church, that right here before God does anything else, all these things are hovering over the face of the deep. You see, it's derived from the Hebrew word koshak, and it means to be dark as withholding light. You see, oh, somebody ought to get this, because you see, whenever light is withheld, you see darkness, destruction, and sickness, and all that stuff has no choice but to prevail. Can I get a witness in this place? I said, when light is withheld, and then we need to understand that there, you see, because when, as long as darkness is in our churches, you see, light is not going to prevail. Not that it can't, but you see, there's some stuff that won't grow in certain environments. You see, there's a reason why you get your oranges from Florida. Come on, somebody. It's because of the steady temperatures down there. It's because of the atmosphere. It's because of the environment. And so oranges can grow, but if you bring them to Virginia, when we get into our colder months, you see, they'll freeze and they won't grow because of the environment and the atmosphere. And all I'm trying to say is that God is painting a picture here of an atmosphere where stuff won't grow. Stuff won't grow in certain atmospheres. Lord have mercy. I said stuff won't grow in certain atmospheres. And you see, light is being withheld. There is no light as of now. And so destruction and all that stuff is hovering over the face of the deep. Now I want to stick a pin there and I want to bring it into today's light. I want you to understand that whenever there's darkness in our lives, I want you to know that all those things is hovering over us. Come on, somebody. As a matter of fact, if we get real technical, it's in us. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody in here that before you got saved, if somebody crossed you up, you would have cussed them out? I'm preaching to somebody in here. Is there anybody here before you got saved? It wouldn't matter. You would have fought at the drop of a hat. If somebody said something wrong to you, you wouldn't even rolled up your sleeves. You'd have just balled up your fist and said, bring it on. But God changed you. Come on, somebody. That was darkness. That was darkness. The Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now don't miss this. In the midst of all the destruction hovering over the face of the deep, I want you to know, in spite of all that darkness, the Bible says the Spirit of God is doing something. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, which means that the Spirit of God is there, is hovering over the face of the waters. And what it means is that the Spirit of God was presiding over the earth and preparing it for the creative word to follow. Good God Almighty. I want you to know, in every dark situation, whether it's in the church, in the home, in the community, on Capitol Hill, the Spirit of God is in this earth and it is moving, it is alive, it is active, and it is presiding, because you see, the devil thinks he's in control. But I stopped by to tell you, I done read Revelation chapter 20. He might think he's in control, but there's somewhere he got to go sooner or later. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but read Revelation chapter 20. You'll find out where he's got to go sooner or later. But I want you to know that God is teaching us here that even though there's darkness and chaos, that the Spirit of God is moving over the face of the waters, and the Spirit of God is preparing some things so that when the word of God comes through, it'll do just what it says. You see, the Spirit alone is moving, animated, while the elements of the lifeless earth remain static, passive, and awaiting their command. Don't you know that the darkness that's in the world is waiting on a command from God? Somebody needs to get that this morning. Don't you know that if there's darkness in your home, it's waiting on a command from God? And the fact that there's darkness on Capitol Hill, that darkness is waiting on a command from God? Is there anybody here this morning that knows, I don't care how much you talk to a situation, but if the word of God is not in it, it ain't going nowhere. It ain't gonna move. It ain't gonna change. Good God Almighty. We can talk all day long about how we feel about a situation. It might sound right and it might even feel right, but if it ain't the word of God, it ain't right. Can I get a witness here? Good God Almighty. I want you to know, as I come to my third point here, the third point is in verse 3. I'm going somewhere with this. Verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Lord have mercy. You see, what we find here is that God simply speaks a word. Isn't that what he does? He speaks a word. Now remember the situation. It's dark. It's void. It's chaotic. There's destruction. There's sorrow. All those negative things is hovering over the face of the deep. But in spite of that's hovering over the face of the deep, above that is the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the water. Good God Almighty. And now the fact that it's hovering over the face of the deep, which means that it ain't above the water, but yet it's down on the bottom of the water. Somebody ought to get this morning. You see, that's where the real wickedness and where the real evil is. It's on the deep down on the inside in the crevices of the heart. It's not on the surfaces of the heart. Because you see, that's why most people don't realize that it's evil and wicked, because it ain't on the surface. It's down in the crevices. And the only way you're going to get that evil out of the crevices, it's going to take something more than Mr. Clean. Good God Almighty. You see, cheer and laundry detergent can't wash this out. But you need something deeper. You need something stronger, something more powerful to get down into the crevices of the heart. And so the Bible says, and God said, now let's back it up. The word "and" is used as a copulative force. What I mean by that is everything that's in verse 1 and 2 will dominate the scene. But what comes after the "and" changes the context of the scripture. Does somebody understand what I'm talking about? It's just like saying we were on our way to hell and Jesus died on the cross. Now, what I'm saying is we were on our way to hell, and if you take away Jesus died on the cross after the "and," we're still on our way to hell. But the fact that Jesus comes after the "and" changes the result of what happens to be. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So therefore, we must understand that God simply spoke his word. If you're going to get rid of darkness, and if you're going to bring light into a dark situation, you better learn to speak a word from God. Can I get a witness here? It's no longer you can tell your child "because I said so." You better be ready to tell them "because the Lord said so." Good God Almighty. You see the word "and" here. And then it says "God said." What am I talking about? God said. Yes, God said. The divine word shatters the primeval cosmic silence and signals the birth of a new cosmic order. You see, if you want to have a new birth in your life, if you want your situation to go from old to new, you got to learn to speak the word of God. I said you got to learn to speak the word of God. He said, "Let there be light." What's he mean, "let there be light"? What he's saying is, let there be some illumination on the scene. Let there be happiness on the scene, which means destruction, you got to disappear. It means misery, you got to go. It means ignorance, you got to get off the scene. It means death, you no longer have dominion. That's what it means. It means death, you no longer have victory. It means wickedness, you can no longer prevail in my life. God said, "Let there be light." Somebody needs to get this morning. You see, God just speaks a word, and you see, and darkness disappears. Good God Almighty. If there's a situation in your life, I stop by to tell you, you got to stop being afraid of it. You got to stop letting it burn you down. You got to stop letting it control your life. But you got to just get into the word of God and says, "Well, the Bible says this about this situation." And you got to learn to look at the situation and speak a word of God into the situation, and then realizing, even though it looked like the situation ain't changed, it looks like it ain't changed, but I want you to know, when you speak a word, it ain't got no choice but to change. Can I get a witness here? Don't you remember the pigs? Don't you remember the man that was demon possessed in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus came across the Sea of Galilee and he brought his disciples with him, and the man came running to Jesus and kneeled down to Jesus and said, "Have mercy on me, Lord." And don't you know the Bible says that Jesus, he spoke a word and he told the demons, he said, "Come out of him." But you know, they had a little argument with Jesus. They said, who are you that you come to cast us out, Jesus?" They knew who he was. They said, "Our time has not yet come. What you doing here early? You ain't come back the second time. You early. It ain't time for us to go." And Jesus said, "Come out of him." And they said, "Well, can we go somewhere else? We don't want to just roam around." He sent them into the pigs. So what am I saying? I'm saying is, when he told them to come out, there was a delay. They hesitated. They tried to buy some time, but they still had to go. So when you speak a word into your situation, there might be a delay for that devil, but he still got to go. Come on, somebody. Lord have mercy. You see, the word "light" also not only means happiness, but it means to be bright. You see, the opposite of bright is gloomy. Have you ever walked into God's house? You walk through the doors and you just felt gloomy. You just felt heavy. You just felt like there was a burden on you. I stopped by to tell you that if you're sitting in God's house and you feel gloomy and there's a burden, it's because darkness is in the house. Can I get a witness here? But I stopped by to tell you that when the house is illuminated, when darkness has been driven out of the house, and when hearts are right, and when mindsets are right, And when folks are on one accord, I stop by to tell you that the whole place get bright. I stop by to tell you that tears start to run down your eyes and ain't nobody bothering you. I stop by to tell you you start running in the church and ain't nobody chasing you. I stop by to tell you you start clapping your hands and stomping your feet and ain't nobody playing no music. I stop by to tell you that when there's light in the house, when there's illumination in the house, it's because the word of God is being brought forth. Now I want you to understand, if God don't speak, it ain't gonna be no light. I stop by to tell you that every church you go to, you ain't necessarily gonna find light, because you see, in order for there to be light, there's got to be the word of God that's rightly divided. You can't just get up in the pulpit talking about God said, but if God didn't say it, that ain't light. Can I get a witness here? But when you rightly divide the word of God, when you preach it in its right context, and when you stay out of people's personal business, I'm preaching to somebody in here. I said, when you stay out of people's personal business, because the truth of the matter is, that's their business between them and God. It ain't got nothing to do with the preacher. I just come to preach what thus says the Lord. As a matter of fact, telling you all about your personal business ain't gonna change your situation. But when I preach Jesus and the fact that he's the man from Galilee who will set you free, all that'll convict your heart. That'll change your situation. Am I right about it? I'm getting ready to go to my seat, lest I keep you too long. But I got one more thing to tell you. The next thing I want to tell you is in verse 4. It says, and God saw the light that it was good. Can I get a witness? And it says, and God divided the light from the darkness. You see, the fact that God saw the light and saw that it was good tells me that God is judge as well as the landlord of this earth. Good God Almighty. You see, that cancels out folk from trying to judge us, saying that we ain't never gonna change, we ain't never gonna be nobody. But I want you to know that God is our judge and he's got the last say so in your situation. Good God from Mount Zion, even if folk don't speak to you, even if they want nothing to do with you, they ain't got the last say so. But God's got the last say so in your situation. The Bible says that God saw the light and that it was good. Good God Almighty, the fact that he saw the light and said that it was good says that God is the judge over the earth and he's also the landlord. What do you mean by landlord? Well, you see, if I rented a house, you see, it's not my house, I'm just renting it. Come on, somebody. But the house still belongs to the landlord. And the fact that the house belongs to the landlord says that he can put me out whenever he gets ready to. But I also want you to know that there's something else to this thing. You see, if something breaks in the house, good God from Mount Zion, I said, if something breaks in the house, I ain't got to fix it, but the landlord fixes it. In other words, it ain't my debt, but it's his. Am I right about it? Good God Almighty. Is there anybody here who knows that if it's God's will, it's his bill? Good God Almighty. I said, it ain't my bill because it's God's will. You see, you got to understand that when God is the landlord, he fixes all the broken stuff in the house. You ain't got to worry about your AC going out because the landlord's going to fix it. But you see, if it's your house, when the AC breaks down, it's your bill because it's your will. But if it's God's house, then it's his will. If it breaks down, it's his bill. Is there anybody in this house who knows what I'm talking about? You see, when you leave here today, you need to understand that we are living in this world. We are on borrowed times. It's God's house and he is the landlord and he can put us out anytime he get ready. Good God Almighty. The next time somebody gets on your nerves, you need to look them square in the eyes and say, the last time I checked, you wasn't the landlord. Good God Almighty. Am I right about it? You see, the Bible says that God divided the light from the darkness. I want you to know that light symbolizes prosperity and darkness symbolizes a disaster. I want you to know that God is the only one who can separate prosperity from disaster. Can I get a witness in this place? You see, the word divided also means to separate or to be distinguished. You see, it's only through the word of God that you can distinguish the difference between prosperity and a disaster. Let me give you an example. You see, you might have a chance to cheat on your taxes. And if you cheat on your taxes and get more money back, it'll look like prosperity. Can I get a witness here? But I stop by to tell you, if it's against the word of God, it'll sure enough end up being a disaster. Because even though you get more back, sooner or later you're going to have to pay it back. Am I right about it? And if you cheat on too much of it, you have to go to jail and on top of paying it back. You see, I said the word of God separates light from darkness. Lord have mercy. In Psalm 119, 105, the word of God says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Am I right about it? It's the word of God that's gonna shed some light and drive out the darkness.
In the book of John chapter 1, you see it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. So in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, I said it was the Word that God used to create it all. Verse 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You see, in Him, good God Almighty, who is Him? In Him was life, even though there was death hovering around in the deep, but there was some life up on the surface, and the life was the light of men. That means that in men there was darkness. Can I get a witness here? I said there was darkness in men, but I want you to know that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not, but He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What am I saying? I'm saying that every one of us was a dark situation. I said, Sister Becky, you was a dark situation. Sister Betty, you was a dark situation. Deacon Mike, you was a dark situation. I was a dark situation. But one day, I was sitting in service, and God spoke to the man of God. And when the Word of God was spoken to my dark situation, light dispelled the darkness, and I became light in the world. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't care how dark it is. Speak a word from the Lord, and the Word of God will drive out the darkness. Am I right about it? But the problem is, the Word of God isn't being preached like it ought to be preached. That's why darkness can stay on the inside. But if you preach the Word of God, darkness has got to go. So on your job, when there's darkness, speak a word into your situation. In your household, when there's darkness, speak a word into that situation. In the community, for the darkness, speak a word into that situation. Commit sickness, speak a word into that situation. Am I right about it? Is there anybody here that knows that Jesus is a doctor who's never lost a patient? Am I right about it? Anybody got children with a court situation? Speak a word into that darkness. Anybody know he's a lawyer that's never lost a case? Am I right about it? And ain't he all right? Didn't he wake you up early this morning, clothed in your right mind? Didn't it start you on your way? Didn't it tell you to come out to God's house? Ain't he all right? I hear he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Is there anybody here, when you went in your refrigerator, there was food to eat and clothes on your back? I hear he's bread when you're hungry. Am I right about it? Anybody, when you got thirsty, you had water to drink? I hear he's water in a thirsty land. Ain't he all right? He's the man from Galilee who will set you free. He's Mary's baby. He's Jesus. He can raise the dead. He can give sight to the blind. He's all right. But you know what's best? The Bible says that one day he's coming back for his church without spot or wrinkle. When he comes back, he's going to be looking for light. Darkness can't ride with Jesus. Can I get a witness? Touch your neighbor and say, if you want to ride, darkness can't get in. Ain't he all right? I said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those of us which are left and remained shall be caught up with the Lord in the air, and there shall we be with the Lord forevermore. I don't know about you, but in spite of this dark world, one day the Lord is coming to get me. Am I right about it? Light has got to rise, but darkness has got to go. Ain't he all right? I gotta go. I gotta serve communion. But I want you to know that the Word of God would get rid of the dark in a dark situation. It'll bring light in a dark situation.
preach the word. When you go back to your church and when the preacher starts preaching, you ought to encourage the preacher. Tell him, preach, preacher. Get the darkness out of here. Preach, preacher. Darkness has got to go. Ain't he all right? Somebody ought to praise him. I'm trying to sit down, but the Holy Ghost won't let me. He's a good God. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. He's all right. That's the only way to get darkness out of every situation. It goes back to the beginning. He spoke a word. Said, let there be light. It is through the word of God. But when backs are turned on the word of God, when the word of God is not priority in the church, darkness is in the deep. See, it can look like church is being held by showing up at the building. But if the word of God is not priority, there's darkness. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise.